What is love? Great minds have been grappling with this question through the ages, and in the modern era, they have come up with many different answers. According to the Western philosopher Pat Benatar, love is a battlefield. Her paisan, Frank Sinatra, would add the corollary that love is a tender trap. The stoner kids who spent the summer of 1978 looking cool on the hoods of their Trans Ams in the Pierce Elementary School parking lot used to scare us little kids by blasting the sweet hit, "Love is like oxygen. You get too much, you get too high, not enough, and you're gonna die. Love hurts. Love stinks. Love bites. Love bleeds. Love is the drug." The troubadours of our times all agree. They want to know what love is, and they want you to show them. But the answer is simple. Love is a mixtape.
That's Rob Sheffield reading from his book, Love is a Mixtape, Life and Loss, One Song at a Time. The book is Sheffield's tribute to his late wife, Renee, and to their mutual love affair with music. Rob Sheffield told Anne Strangechamps how he and Renee met.
We met because we were in a bar after a poetry reading, and the bartender put on an album that both of us recognized, and we both got really excited. It was Big Star Radio City, which was a pretty obscure album at the time. And Renee was the only other person in the room who perked up when she heard it, and I perked up too, and I just noticed her right away, and we just started talking about Big Star and how much we loved that album and how much we loved that song and how much we loved that group, and I was getting hit pretty hard as I was hearing her talk.
Well, what was your first impression of her? What did she seem like?
She was really loud. She was in a room full of people who were kind of mannered literary types, and she was not mannered. She was loud. She liked talking. She got really enthusiastic and talked too fast and talked too loud about things that she liked, and just her voice was so captivating. I just really never had a chance after that.
And you were kind of the opposite, right? You guys were opposites in a lot of ways.
A lot of ways. I was very quiet and very mannered and very shy, and I always had been, and it was just remarkable to me to talk to somebody who had so much self-possession and who was not shy at all about just speaking her mind.
So looking at the two of you, people might not think this was a natural mix, and yet it worked.
It did. It did. I started imitating her a lot. I really kind of just learned to write by listening to her talk, really. I really learned from her and the way that she held herself what communicating with people was about and what it was for and why it was fun.
You write in your book that first night you met, you told Renee the same thing you've told every single girl you've ever had a crush on. I'll make you a tape. So
yes.
I'm curious, what's always motivated you to make mixtapes for crushes?
It was really the only way I had to communicate with other people. It was something primal about it. It's almost like, you know, when the cat brings you a dead mouse and it's, you know, it lays this dead mouse at your feet and really wants you to cavil over this dead mouse that it brought in. It's the only way the cat has to show you that the cat is willing to hunt and gather and offer you sacrifices. And that's, you know, that was basically...
cassette tape was your dead mouse.
Yeah. Yes, and often about as attractive.
What did you put on Renee's mixtape?
Well, side one was the Big Star album that I was going to tape for her. And the other side was another Big Star record. And that gave me lots of space at the end of the albums to fill up the sides with various songs. So I worked really hard on picking the right mix of songs to fill up. So I had a Lucinda Williams song, I Just Wanted to See You So Bad, and I wondered if maybe that was too bold and brazen a statement to put on the tape, but I decided to leave it in anyway.
I drove my car in the middle of the night, I just want to see you so bad. The road was dark, but the stars were bright, I just want to see you so bad. It didn't matter what your friends would say, I was going to see you anyway, I just want to see you so bad.
So what were you trying to do with it? Were you putting on songs that sort of you thought she'd like, or songs that expressed what you wished you could say to her, or songs that you thought would describe you to her?
I guess they were songs that kind of reflected my vision of what she was and how I was perceiving her at that really immediate stage. These were songs that were trying to say what I wanted to say, but I couldn't say.
I know Big Star was really important to you and Renee, but I don't even remember Big Star. Did you guys have a favorite song?
Yeah, our favorite song was 13. It was never a hit, It was a song that came out in the early 70s from this band from Memphis, and they didn't really fit in with any of the prevailing pop trends at the time, so they became very obscure. But the song 13, it was just the most unbelievably beautiful song. It was just this simple acoustic love ballad, and it turned out to be the first song at our wedding.
Won't you let me walk you home from school? Won't you let me meet you at the pool? Maybe Friday I can get tickets for the dance. Now take you. Ooh.
Did Renee ever make a mixtape for you?
Yes, all the time. She was someone who would begin a lot of mixtapes really enthusiastically and then lose interest in the middle of side two. And I always had this, you know, geeky rock boy notion that once you begin the tape, you have to finish the tape. But, you know, now I listen to tapes that she made, and so many of them, you know, as soon as she loses interest, she just stops making the tape. She has enough. You know, it's just a burst of pure passion from her.
You and Renee didn't have very long together. She died tragically and really unexpectedly.
Yeah.
5 years into your marriage?
Yes. Five and a half.
Can you tell me what happened?
She had a pulmonary embolism, and this was on May 11th, 1997, which was Mother's Day, and it was a Sunday afternoon, and it was just an ordinary weekend, and I was in the kitchen making cinnamon toast, and suddenly she just fell over, and she had just suddenly had a fit, and I called 911, and it was over instantly, and nobody had seen her sick, and she didn't have any health worries, so it was just a real shock to everybody who loved her. It was just devastating to all of us.
You were such a young man at the time, especially. You must have just been in complete shock.
Yeah.
What did you do?
It was something where there was no sort of guide or model, and it was just a very solitary kind of experience, and it was the first experience that I'd gone through without Renee there to guide me through it. That was just really, really difficult. And I found myself coming back over and over again to the tapes that she'd made because it was the closest I could come to getting a letter from her or hearing her voice or something like that.
Did you play the tapes? Could you, or was it too painful?
There's some music that was just too painful to listen to, whereas other music that we had shared, I just found myself clinging to those songs as if they were life rafts. They were just something that got me through this extremely strange and difficult time.
Music can sort of weave itself around our emotions in so many strange and wonderful ways, but it can be really painful too. Sometimes I wonder why we like sad songs so much. I mean, you know, a song can really make you just feel terrible. Why do we at the same time like that, do you think?
You know, it's like falling in love with dangerous people. It's like, why do we do it? But we do. I remember that summer, I had this one tape. I was sitting in the backyard. It was late at night, and I spent a lot of nights that summer just sitting in the backyard by myself in the dark listening to tapes. I was listening to Hank Williams.
Oh, the rain is slowly falling, and my heart is so sore. 6 more miles and leave my darling. Never on this earth to meet no more.
And he was singing this song called 6 Miles to the Graveyard, and I was really intensely identifying with it, but, you know, I kept thinking, why are you doing this to yourself, you idiot? You know, like, this song is just too strong for you to handle right now. And I had to put it away. It was just a song that, you know, I had to have a stronger spirit before I could take those really sad Hank Williams songs.
What about when you began to come back to life, as inevitably you did? Is there any particular song that made you realize that this awful grief wasn't going to go on forever and that you would get better?
music was a huge part of feeling that life was going to continue whether I chose to be part of it or not, and that if I had the chance to choose to be part of it, a chance that she didn't have, then I sort of had a responsibility to choose to be part of that. And for music, that was vivacious and powerful. It was almost like it was challenging me to be a part of it. Like, there was this Outkast song that was on the radio. It was a couple years after she died, and it was called Rosa Parks, and it's the one that goes, "Aha, stop that fuss, everybody move to the back of the bus." The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed, the night has gone by. And it was just such like an intense, great song. Again, another song that, you know, it had pain in it and it had grief in it, but it was so vivacious and so intense and so passionate that it was just impossible not to bop along with it. And to hear that it was, apart from just asking me to dance, that the song was really challenging me to be alive.
To keep going.
Yeah.
Renee died, I guess it was 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
You're in another relationship and your life has moved on. Do you still listen to the mixtapes that you and Renee made for each other?
Yeah, they will always be part of me. They'll always be part of whatever friendships and whatever relationships and whatever kind of relationships to the world I have. Those songs and those years will always be part of it. Mm-hmm. That's not a part of me I would cut away even if I could. And I feel still inspired by it and still very lucky to have had those particular years. And I feel lucky to have, you know, the time that I have now. It's funny because I sort of expected that the rest of my life would be a letdown, and the fact that I'm still alive and still thriving and still loving and still being a person is definitely something that I can thank her for.
Big Star, with I'm in Love with a Girl, a song from their Radio City album. Rob Sheffield is the author of Love is a Mixtape, Life and Loss, One Song at a Time. He spoke with N. Strange Champs.